trip, so I'm the third string, so thanks for coming. glad you're here, guys. Yay! Praise God. Well, I always believe in prayer. We all believe in prayer, right? And
amen.
Yes. And someone handed me this note. My mind is going back. Sister Kathy, right? Yes, thank you. Sorry. I'm a little nervous. When she handed me this note, I was in tears because, you know, I have a son that's 18 years old, Nathaniel, as you know. He's saying, no, yes, you are. You're 18. Well, this young man is also the same age as my son. His name is John Garion. So we want to lift him up in prayer. His story is that he has anaplastic large cell lymphoma, which is a cancer.
He's in stage two.
He's 18. And that just breaks my heart to see that, you know, that this young man is facing such a serious illness. But we know that God is well able to do so much more than what we can think or even ask. So I really want to pray for him because it just really moved my heart. He's supposed to graduate this year, like my son, but I guess the illness has put that on delay. But we know that God's timing is perfect in everything, right? Kind of goes with what we're going to talk about today. But let's go ahead and bow our heads and we'll pray and we'll get started. Father, I just thank you for this day, God, because this is the day that you have made, God. And your word says to rejoice and be glad in it because, Lord, you are in it. Father, so right now in Jesus' name, God, we lift up to you, John Carion, Lord Jesus. This is your son, your child, Father. He is the son of these parents that I can't even imagine the heartache they're going through to see their son suffering so much, Lord. But, Lord, you understand that because your son suffered greatly. God, you can understand those parents, Lord Jesus. And Father, right now, Lord, we just call on Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, our healer, God. We pray for John Carion, Lord Jesus. Father, touch him today, this morning, God. And just strengthen him, Father. Encourage him, Father. Bring your healing virtue into his body, Father. Let him be a living testimony of your power, your strength, Lord. And God, as we go through this message today, these are not my words, these are yours, God. I pray that would come through, Lord Jesus, not for me, not for anybody, but for everyone that listens to this message, God, that you have something to say to your children because you love them, God, and you have something to say. Don't all parents do? We all have something to say, God. Give us the ears to hear, God. Give us the eyes to see. And Father, please give us the heart to truly understand what you are saying to us this day, Father. We commit this time and this message to you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. I sound loud. Is this loud? Yeah. I just feel loud. Okay. So our message today is God's roadmap /GPS. And I was trying to think of the different people that are going to be in the audience. How many people in the audience here have used a map before, like really used a map? And I noticed, you know, the people that are raising their hands, you're about my age or a little bit older, right? We're kind of showing our age, and the youth are going like, what's a map? I'm just kidding. What's this big thing that we used to use when we were trying to travel from one point to another? How many have used GPS? Yeah, all my youth should be raising their hand, right? And now we're kind of, you know, we've had to kind of like transition from maps to GPS, right? Yeah. So when do you use a map, really? When you're lost? Or that's true, right? If you get lost, you're like, man, I need a map, or where's my GPS, right? And that's like, you know, when you're basically reacting to the fact that, oh my gosh, I am lost. Or if you're smart, which most of you are, all of you are, picking on you, brother, you're going to do it before you go on your journey. Am I right? You want to go, okay, you know what? I need to go from point A to point B, and I need to type in to see, you know, where it is. And doesn't it take a little planning? It does, right? Because you had to kind of start thinking, okay, now I have to go from here to there. And you have to think about, what do I have to wear? Right, ladies? Boys don't care. Right? I know. I have two boys. I know. And I grew up with brothers, so I know. They don't care. Girls do. They take like an hour or two or three. Just kidding. to get there, right? We have to, you know, what are we going to wear? What's going to be needed when I once I get there? I'm going to have to prepare. How much time is it going to take to get there, right? So I need to plan. I have to think ahead. So whenever we are thinking about that, like in the physical, you know, we have to think about all these things. Oh my gosh, that is a nice surprise. Hi, here's my husband and my son. Wow, wasn't expecting that. Woo. But do you notice that it's a blessing to have a map, isn't it? Or a GPS? I love my GPS, to be honest with you. I love it because it keeps me from getting frustrated, right? And getting lost, right? If you use it beforehand, they're a blessing to have that. And you know what? God already knew that, even before we figured this out. God knows that we need a map because, you know, life is like kind of crazy and hard. And you know what? He's the one that made the road. He's the one that created the journey. Why not follow him? Because he knows the way through it, right? So I don't really understand when people like don't understand why. I don't know which way to go, this way or that way. I said, well, have you asked God? You know, because he knows the way. He really is. He is the way, isn't he? He's the way. And so a lot of times when we journey, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time, right? It takes time. Money, you know, you put gas in your car. If you want to go buy a new outfit, it's going to cost you some money, right, honey? It's kind of picking on my daughter. And then there's also some risk involved, isn't there? Yes. Well, you know, some crazy drivers out on the road. Guys, when we journey, life is risky. You know, we've lived long enough to know that, yeah, it's some things are going to cost you something. Almost everything will cost you something. So the GPS that we were talking about here, I know the acronym is what, Global Positioning System, is that right? I'm going to call it God's perfect system. That's the way I'm going to say it. If we, from the very beginning of our journey of life, make a decision, I'm going to use God's GPS, God's perfect system, do you think you're going to get to the end intact? We will. So this is going to be my first scripture. Next slide. This is going to be our anchor scripture for today. It's one of my favorite ones. It really is. I quote this all the time. It's Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Beautiful scripture, isn't it? It's very powerful. This is our GPS, by the way. Notice the words I highlighted. I'm a teacher, right? So I highlight the important words. We're going to talk about trust. We're going to kind of unpack this thing. You know, we're on a little journey. We're going to unpack it. We're going to talk about trust. That's a huge word. We'll talk a little bit more about that. We're going to talk about not leaning on our own understanding. And then the last one is acknowledge. So I'm going to kind of go into a little bit of detail. The word trust means, in the dictionary, says reliance on the integrity, the strength, ability, surety of a person or a thing. Or you can just say confidence, right? Can we have confidence in the Lord's integrity? Yes. Can we have confidence in the Lord's strength? Yes. How about his ability? Yes. How about the surety of God? Yes. Can we have confidence in that? Trust is huge in relationships. It's the foundation of everything. Of course, unless we lean on, look at our understanding, if we don't lean on our own understanding, then we're trusting in God, aren't we? Yeah, I'm going to kind of show you something when I was studying this, I thought, I never saw that before. It was like kind of revelation for me. Verse 5 requires us to do two things, right? Can you see what they are? We have to trust and not lean on our own understanding. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about that in a minute. When we have confidence in the Lord and not on our own understanding or our education or our family or our feelings or what we think is right, then we can really see God move in all different ways, right? It really requires a lot of trust. Many people lose their way in the first verse right there. A lot of people lose their way there. Lean on basically means to rely on something, right? And then acknowledge is when you admit to be real or true when you recognize the existence or the truth of something, right? So that's kind of just the little definitions of what those keywords mean. And we'll come back to that in a little bit. So the first thing that we need to do to find God's direction is the next slide, is we need to find God's direction for life by trusting the Lord with all your heart. So like I said, remember we said trust was, right? I want you to imagine somebody in your life right now that you trust. There's two kind of people in your life, right? People that you trust, people that you don't trust, right? Okay, so ask yourself, look at the people. Think about that person that you trust the most. Like for me, it would be my husband. He's the one I trust the most, right? On this earth, aside from God, right? He's the person why do I trust him? You know, why do we trust people? Because I believe that that person, my husband, is not out to hurt me, that he has my best interest at heart, okay? I feel safe. I feel safe with God, with my husband. I feel safe being who I am with my husband. Think about that person. Do you feel safe with them, don't you? Right? You don't have to, like, put on a certain face or act a certain way, right? Think about the people you don't trust. Unfortunately, there's more of those than the other, right? You notice that? Yeah. People that you don't trust, well, it's like the opposite, right? We're not comfortable around that person. For some reason, we don't feel safe. We're uncomfortable. We're a little nervous around them. It's hard to relax. And can you be peaceful when you don't trust that person? It's hard to be at peace whenever you don't have that trust with that person. You can't. It's hard. But when it comes to God, we have to have that relationship with him. Do you think God has our best interest at heart? He does. Do you think he's out to hurt us? So why can't we trust him? I'm going to tell you right now, and I've been a Christian for a long time, since 1989. It's been a long time. I'm still working on my trust with God. And you think, you should have it down pat by now. I don't. It takes years to build. It does, because, you know, for whatever reason, it takes some of us longer than others. Some people, it's easy for them, and that's a blessing. It hasn't been easy for me. People think that it is because they're seeing me right now, but they didn't see the journey I've been on. They don't know the things that I've encountered. They don't know. How can they? They have their own life to live, you know? Trust takes a while to build with God. So I'm going to kind of come back to this in a minute, because the way the scripture is given to us, I think it's given to us backwards, and I'll show you in a minute what I mean, okay? Okay, go ahead and go to the next one. Here's an example in the Bible. How many people know about Gideon? The story of Gideon? And this was I started reading about it actually yesterday. And I saw some things in there that really I never had seen before. And I'm not going to go into that because I'll go on a rabbit trail. But I'll go off task here. But just to kind of give you a little background on Gideon, in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, "The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years, and Midian it was a group of people. So, they were basically enslaved to these people. The Midianites, they would destroy their crops, and they would leave nothing for them, not even for their animals. So they were Israelites were in a really bad situation, okay? And in verse 6, it says here, "So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord." So what are they doing? They're praying, like, "God, help us. This is a terrible situation. These people are destroying our crops. We can't even eat, not even our animals." And guess what? God answered their prayer, right? So he turns to his man, Gideon, right? Gideon's his guy. And the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, right? And he tells him, "Rise up, great man of valor." And what is his reaction, Gideon? He goes, "God, I'm like, not the person you want. That's not, you must have gotten, made a mistake. He responded that his clan was the weakest, that he was the least in his father's house. You know, he had all these excuses of why God made a mistake. I can't help you, God, sorry. God did not relent, though. He did not turn back and say, you know what, you're right, I did make a mistake. Let me go to somebody else. Nope. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. The minute that God speaks to you, he does not take it back. I just have experienced that in my own life, and that's another story. But all I'm saying is, if you hear God telling you, it's a done deal. All of God's words are yes and amen, right? His promises are yes and amen. So are his words. His words are forever settled in heaven. That's God's word right there. But the beautiful thing about this story, I really want, if you can go to this morning sometime today, read Judges 6 and 7. You'll see some things that are really amazing. I'm trying to give you the short version here. But in God's great patience, when Gideon responded to God like that, like, I'm not your man, God, God could have gotten angry, but he didn't. He showed great patience. When I was reading that, I was going, man, God, you were so patient with Gideon. God allowed Gideon to test him three times. Three times Gideon tested him, right? I'm not going to go into too much detail. Read it for yourself. But God allowed that to happen because he was trying to reassure Gideon. It's okay. I got your back. I'm with you. What was God trying to do at that moment? He was trying to build trust. He wanted Gideon's trust to grow because God knew that in order for Gideon to go from point A to point B, he had to trust him completely. I mean, it's amazing that the things that we trust that GPS thing to tell us, turn left, in 300 feet you will turn left. And we don't even question it, we just do it, right? And it's a machine. And here we're serving an almighty God that loves us, right? And we have a hard time trusting him. That's why I have to keep telling myself, what's wrong with you? Why aren't you trusting God? What's wrong with you? Anyway, so God allowed him to be tested. But then once God passed the test, which he passes every time, right? God went ahead and tested him. And this is where this scripture comes in. There was like 22,000 men that said, okay, we're going to come up against these Midianites and we're going to destroy them. That's a lot of people. So they had a lot of confidence, right? A lot of confidence in 22,000 men. I would have a ton of confidence if I had 22 men behind me ready to battle. I'd be like, excited, let's go, let's do this. But God said, that's too many. What do you mean that's too many? That's perfect. I mean, we'll definitely win. But where was their trust? In God or those 22,000? The 22,000. And God says, it's too many. So some got sent home, and then he was left with only 10,000. So Gideon said, well, that's better, right? It's like almost half. God said, still too many. Okay, so then God said, okay, Gideon's wanting to be obedient. He's really wanting to trust God. And God says this. With the 300 men that lap, which means they went to go drink some water, those are the men that with the 300 men that lapped, drank water from the river, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go. So the men that lapped like this were the ones that were to stay with him. The ones that drank water like a dog, this is what they said in the Bible, he sent them home. Which is like, yeah, I can kind of see why you would do that. But why would you drink like a dog? I don't know. Gideon went from 22,000 men to how many? 300. That's not a lot of men, right? And these guys were mighty. If you read in detail about the Midianites, they were facing a pretty strong group. So 300 doesn't seem like a whole lot. But look at the promise God gave them. I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Don't you have to trust somebody? They had to trust God at that point. And guess what? The end of the story, kind of making it shorter, they won. It came true. It was true. And he saw God's hand. Man, do you think his faith was built up at that point? Oh, yes. So, first point, remember what it was? You have to trust the Lord. You find God's direction for life by trusting the Lord with all your heart. You say Gideon did that, didn't he? And he saw God move. Okay. Second thing. So what's the second thing I have to do to find God's direction? Not leaning on your own understanding. And leaning is basically like relying, like you're relying on. And the only thing I could think of when I was looking at that section right there is leaning on a wall or leaning on someone when you want to pass out, right? I've done that before where I was really sick and I was going to pass out and I leaned against the wall so I wouldn't fall. Yeah. I was trying to rely on that. I didn't want to hurt myself, right? I didn't want to get hurt. I was really trusting that that wall was going to hold me up. And see, but here it's saying not to lean on your own understanding. And I think that's where a lot of people, and I know I struggle, we all struggle. It doesn't matter how long you've been walking with God. We all struggle with this one. That we lean on our own understanding because we want to be in control, right? We want to understand everything. And I'm a teacher by profession slash now counselor here in Northside, and this is difficult for me. And I know Jamie can understand that. My husband can. We want to understand things. We do. And when we don't, it's hard. It's very humbling not to understand and trust, right? So it's a great scripture in the Bible. And the next one, remember Peter? He's a great example of a Peter leaning on his understanding and what happens when you do that. It's in Matthew 14, verses 28 through 30. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. So in this scripture, he started out trusting, didn't he? Yeah, Peter did great. He started out strong. He said, oh, Lord, it's you. Just tell me to come and I'll come. And God said, yeah, we'll come. So he did. But this is where he started to lean on his understanding. He got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, what was he leaning on? His sight. He was leaning on his senses. Sometimes what we see, what we hear, what we feel, our emotions or whatever, that's leaning on what we understand. We understand that because that's what we're always with. We're always with ourselves. We're always surrounded with all the stimuli around us. We lean on that to make decisions. And that's what he did. But when he saw the wind and he was what?
Afraid.
That's emotion. He started to rely on his emotions. Then he began to sink. And he could not go from point A to point B anymore, right? It ended right there. So the minute that we start thinking we know and we should, doesn't make sense to me, God. And God says it doesn't have to make sense. I can tell you many times that God told me to do some things that didn't make sense. And the thing that comes to my mind right now, and I really wasn't planning to say this, but I and a lot of you know this already, but I just recently went back to school after many years of not being in school. Went back to graduate school and I wanted to get a master's. And God had called me to come out of being a teacher to become a counselor. Guys, I'm at the tail end of my career. I only have a few years left to retire. And God called me to do something else. That didn't make any sense to me. I said, God, I have three kids, and, you know, I'm busy, I'm, you know, involved with church, and why would you tell me to go back to school? You know, it's kind of old. It's kind of too late for me. It didn't make sense. In my understanding, it didn't make sense. No one's going to hire me. They want the younger ones, you know, they have more energy, you know, and they're more hip than I am. But God just, all he said is, go back. And that's all he said. Just like he doesn't say a whole lot. God never says a whole lot. He just few words. He's a man of few words. He said, come. He told me, go. And I did. And I went through a lot because there were a lot of obstacles that tried to stop me from finishing. A lot of obstacles. And, you know, I'm on the tail end of all of it now. And it came true. Now I'm actually, you know, doing the job now. But like I said, it didn't make sense for me to go back. You know, and people looked at me, even people that I worked with went, God, aren't you getting ready to retire? I'm like, I know, right? It's kind of weird. Didn't make sense. But it has nothing to do with what makes sense. It's being obedient. Bottom line, it's obedience. We don't have to understand everything. And that's hard for all of us, isn't it? All right. So the third thing that we need in order to find God's direction is by acknowledging God in all that we do. This one's a discipline, okay? Remember what acknowledge meant at the beginning? It means to admit that something is real, to admit that it's true, or to recognize that it exists. Now, how many people, I know all of us have had this experience, like at your job or even maybe here at church, a place that you go to a lot, right? Like, for instance, my job, your job, and you're walking down the hallway, and there's a person you see, you know, and they walk right past you, and they never acknowledge you. You're like, didn't they see me? You know, why didn't they make eye contact or at least smile or say hi? They don't acknowledge you, right? And then that happens time and time again. Like, keep walking past that person. They never, like, acknowledge me. So what starts happening in your mind? You're going, like, did I do something wrong? Did I say something? Are they offended by me? And, you know, you start, it doesn't feel good, right, when somebody doesn't acknowledge you. It's a very negative feeling that person gets, and it's a message that it's not a very positive message we send. But when it comes to God, how do we acknowledge God? Does he exist? Does he? Remember what acknowledge means is to really acknowledge that he's real. He does exist. He's true. He's around us, right? We always hear about, you know, God is omnipresent. God is everywhere. Do you believe that? Yes. Do you?
Yes.
Then why don't you acknowledge him? In everything, in all that you do. Even when you wake up, there he is. Right? When you're somewhere maybe you shouldn't be, guess what? There he is. You're in a group of your friends or people that you work with, and they're talking all kinds of things that you know are not appropriate. Guess what? There he is. He's there. And we ignore him. Right? He's not there. He is there. If I'm going to find God's direction, I have to acknowledge him. No matter where I am, who I'm with, or what I'm doing, acknowledge him. So how do I acknowledge God? Do I have to say, hey, God, what's up? You know, out loud and people think I'm weird? No. That's the next slide. It's really simple. Never stop praying. Just pray. Now, I'm not saying get on your knees and start doing this and being all weird, okay? That's weird. I mean, you can do that in private, but if you do that in public, you know, people are going to talk about you. It's not going to be good for you. But I kind of almost don't even want to put praying because some people think, oh, that's so spiritual. I'm just not that. I'm not a praying person. Can you talk? Can you? Yes, that's praying. So basically just saying never stop talking to God. I had to learn this early in my career as a teacher because honestly, I had no business being a teacher. I really wasn't the best student in school. You're like, really? I'm like, yeah, really. But God called me, and I knew it. And it scared me, and I'm like, well, I have, you know, God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not anything enough. Why are you telling me? Kind of like Gideon. It sounded like Gideon. He never explained it to me. He just said, do it. And I remember being up in front of children and being terrified. I didn't know how I'm going to teach this, God. I don't even know how to teach this. And I remember, and I was still kind of young in my walk with God, and I remember just, I would turn my back to the kids and getting ready to write something on the board, and I would just say, I would talk to God, pray, say, help me, God. Show me how to do this. And that's all it takes. And I didn't say it out loud, because then my kids are like, what's wrong with Mrs. Vidiana? She's talking to herself. She's a weird teacher. But I would just say it in my mind, God, please help me, or just whisper it. And sometimes it's just a word, like, Jesus. And he's there, right? We acknowledge him. And it's, he wants to help us. Remember, he loves us. Look what he did for us. He sent his only son to die. Well, don't doubt that he loves you. He's proven that to us already. It's finished, right? Okay, next one. So here we go. Still talking to God, right? How many people lack wisdom? All of us, right? We're just not smart enough. That's why we need maps. That's why we need GPS, right? We're just not that smart. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should what? Ask God, right? In order to ask, you got to open your mouth to ask. Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And guess what the promise is? And it will be given to you. You just have to ask. But see, it seems like an easy thing, right? Asking. But what God has shown me about that whole thing, you have to be humble enough to ask. Because when you ask somebody or God or anybody, you're basically saying, I don't have it all together. Or I can't figure this out. Or I don't know what to do. I'm just not strong enough, God. Or I don't have the money. Can you please give me some? I'm broke. Does that take humility? Unfortunately, it's a rare thing. I struggle with it. Because that's pride. God has spanked me on that time and time again. Still working on it. We have to ask. Get to that place where you admit, I just can't do it, God. It's too hard. Or I want to give up. You think it scares God? It says right there, he's going to give it to you without finding fault. Like, why don't you have it together? Why haven't you figured it out? Why, you know, why are you still struggling with your finances? You make enough money. God doesn't do that. It says it in his word. He's not going to find fault with you. So why are you holding back? God is not like the rest of the world. He's so much higher than anything that we know in this world, right? So just ask. Talk to him. Ask him. Seems like a simple thing, but it has to. You have to get to that point in your heart to have that humility to admit the truth. I need you, God. I can't figure this out. This is hard. And guess what? We experience wisdom in our life and go, wow, that was God, right? And when we see God move, what starts to happen? That trust starts to build, right? Okay. This is where, when I was reading this, we can go back to, go ahead and go to the last slide. This is where we started. This is where we end. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Read it with me, so I don't want to be the only one reading. Ready? Let's read. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Amen. And you know what I noticed when I was studying this the other day? That it's kind of backwards. Because even though it says trust in the Lord, lean not, and acknowledge, I realized, you know what? In order for me to really build trust in God, what do I have to start with first? Acknowledge him. Just pray. Talk to him. Say, I can't do this, God. I need your help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. Acknowledge him. And when God, and he shall, and he'll give you the wisdom you need, right? When that happens, am I leaning on my own understanding? At that point, I'm not leaning anymore. And when I see God come through, which didn't it say he is going to come through? What starts to happen to my trust? It gets stronger. So I see this as going backwards in a way. I think we need to pray, acknowledge God first, okay? That's basically showing God that you're not leaning on your understanding. Now faith has been released, and faith is what pleases God. Am I right? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Impossible. You have to have faith. And we know faith moves mountains, right? And when that mountain is moved, you're like, that is God. And I trust him completely now. And that happens all through life, right? So here's my question. I'm going to end with this. I got a little bit of time. I wanted to share a personal story, and so a lot of you have heard this, so I'm sorry if this is kind of like, we've heard this already, but some people haven't, so my kids hear it all the time. And I love this scripture so much personally because it really, I'm telling you, if you take this to heart, you will get from point A to point B. It seems easy, but it's a discipline. You have to release that. Acknowledge him. Don't lean on your understanding. Don't trust it. And your trust in God will grow like crazy. When I was young, my husband and I have been married 20 years now. I was in my mid-20s, whatever. And, of course, every young single woman wants to, not every, but a lot of young single women want to be married, right? That was my desire. I had been praying for years. Of course, I dated a few men back and forth, but just nothing really was happening. In fact, there was 4 years of nothing. Not even a boyfriend, not even dating. It was really dry time. And I was like, what's up, God? Am I going to be single the rest of my life? I thought I was going to be single for, I was getting closer to my 30s. Nothing was happening. And then I met Howard. Not looking for a husband at that point. I was just like, whatever. I was already in my career. I was already teaching, whatever. And Pastor Mario and Edema were living in Corpus at the time, and they were youth pastors there. I had already met them years before here in San Antonio. And it was my spring break. So here I am, single, nothing to do, and it's spring break. What do? And I prayed. I acknowledged God. I said, God, I have a whole week. What do you want me to do with my time? And I left it wide open. And God said, go to Corpus. I said, okay, why don't you go visit Mario and Edema? You haven't seen him in a while. I said, yeah, you know, it's a good idea. I'll go. So I went and, you know, went to their church, Pastor Mario and Edema's church, where they were youth pastors. And I met Howard. You know, they introduced me to the youth. I'm not the youth, the singles ministry. I was already in my mid-20s, so the singles there. And they all said, you know, after church, and this was like a Wednesday night, why don't you come to Dairy Queen and, you know, have ice cream with us? And I'm okay. And in comes my husband, dressed in the Royal Rangers uniform, which is like Boy Scouts, a little bit more. Yeah, Christian Boy Scouts, right? You know about that. And I remember looking at him going, that's the biggest Boy Scout I've ever seen. Yeah. I didn't know Boy Scouts could be that old. You know, just a grown man wearing a Boy Scout uniform. That's kind of, was not appealing. I turned the other way going, okay. And those that know Howard, my husband has this big personality, beautiful personality. And of course, I didn't see it like that when I first met him. I thought he was annoying. And but what connected us was like, I found out he was also a teacher. Like, oh, you were a teacher too. And so we were able to start talking and stuff like that. And, you know, my husband is not subtle at all, right? He's very obvious about how he thinks and feels about you. That's the beautiful thing. He's very genuine. What you see is what you get with Howard. And I knew he liked me, right? And I was like, he's not my type. Like, he's annoying. And he wore some Boy Scout uniform to a Dairy Queen. This was not appealing at all. And he was living in Corpus. I'm living in San Antonio, you know. But like, remember, I mean, at that point, I was already walking with that. I started to pray. Because my prayer was like, God, you give me the person that you have for me. You know the man's heart. You know,
give me a man with a good heart. And I remember God just bringing Howard to my mind, and I went, him? But I'm not even attracted to him. He's annoying to me. He's not my type. So at that point, I was leaning on my own understanding, thinking that I knew better than God did, right? And I was like, really? Because all God told me was, trust me. That's all he said was, trust me. And I was like, oh, Lord. And, you know, he kept coming around to San Antonio to visit, whatever. And we became really good friends. And we were just friends. But as I got to know him and I really saw his heart, I fell. I fell from grace. No, just kidding. And fell in love. And 20 years later, 3 kids later, it is the best thing I could have ever done. And I thank God that I didn't lean on my own understanding, because I don't even want to know where I'd be if I wouldn't have trusted God. I wouldn't have what I have right now. So I want to encourage you. That scripture is so true. Are you using God's roadmap? That's it right there. Are you using his GPS? Look at his promise. Look at the last sentence. What does it say? And he shall direct your path. He's going to direct you. There's no doubt. You're going to get from point A to point B, but you have to follow the map. You have to release that GPS. Turn it on. There it is. There's the button right there. All we need to do is trust, lean not on our own understanding, acknowledge him, talk to him all the time. And guess what? You can enjoy the ride. The journey is sweet when we use God's perfect system.
Amen.
Right? All right. Well, we're going to pray. Lord, just want to give you thanks for just being such a good father to us, Lord. You love your children so much. You don't want to see us lost. What father would want to see their children lost? No good father would want that. Lord, you don't want that for your children here. You want them to know the direct path from point A to point B. Jesus, I pray, God, that you would help them, God, to trust you completely. Not lean on their own understanding. And your word says, God, that you're going to direct our path. Help us to acknowledge you, God, to realize the truth is you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us, God. Give us that discipline, Lord, to do that, God. And the ride, it will be sweet. The journey will be good because you're with us, Lord. Father, bless your children here, God. And I pray they feel your peace, God, because you're in the driver's seat. You're taking the wheel. I pray that if there's anybody here, God, that has been at the wheel for way too long and has lost their way, God, you know who they are. I pray that right now in Jesus' name, God, that they would just take their hands off the wheel and surrender and say, God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough, strong enough to drive myself to the next point, God. But you are. So, Father, I pray for those that realize that they've been at the wheel too long, God. Bless them, Lord. Increase their faith. Help them to grow in their trust in you, Father. And they will experience your perfect way in their life, God. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.